We're turning again to the general epistle of Jude. And today I want to draw your attention to verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. With God's word open before us, let us again bow in prayer, seek the Lord's face as we come to consider God's truth. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. And Lord, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we believe that. We thank thee, Lord, for this general epistle of Jude. And O God, we pray as we would seek to study these words, not only today, but over these next weeks, that you would come, Lord, and reveal unto us the message, the clear message from this book. And O God, in these days, that you would help us, Lord, to stand fast for the faith, to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. We thank thee, O God, for our Protestant heritage. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the scriptures of truth, which are able to make men wise unto salvation. And yet we know, Lord, that the devil will always have his counterfeit. We pray that you would defeat the devil, that you would bind the strong man. And, O God, that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forth in this our day and generation in all its fullness. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with the Spirit of God. We need thee, Lord. And, O God, we pray that in these days, that you would give us the grace, Lord, to stand for thee. Help us to preach the truth in love. But, O God, help us to preach it nevertheless. And help us, Lord, to seek to stand up for what is right in this 21st century. We know that prior to the second coming of Christ, the devil will be on overtime, seeking to weaken the body of Christ. But, O God, we thank thee that when you come again to this earth, that you'll find faith on this earth. You'll find a church on this earth. O God, we thank thee and we praise thee that you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O God, we pray that you would therefore bless your word to our hearts now. Come, O God, and teach us, refresh our minds. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is a word for this day and generation in which we live. O God, bless each one here. You know our need. We pray that you'll meet us all at the point of our need. Take your word, therefore, Lord, and apply it to every heart and to every soul. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Down through the history of the church, the devil has always sought to weaken the body of Christ. Satan, who opposes the gospel and the cause of Christ, has always sought from without to attack the church of Jesus Christ on earth. However, although Satan has many in his army who would seek to attack God's work from without, the devil has also those within Christ's church who are seeking to pull down what God has built up. In the book of Jude, God's servant, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, draws our attention to the enemy within the church. As we have pointed out already in the course of these studies, Jude in this epistle is warning God's people about false teachers creeping into the church to introduce their false doctrine. Jude here is warning about apostasy in the church of Jesus Christ. Indeed, as we're going to find out today, this apostasy within the churches had already begun in the days of Jude. Child of God, it is not the enemy without that we need to be concerned about. It is the enemy within. When God's work is opposed from the outside, it usually has a strengthening effect upon the church. However, when God's work is opposed by the enemy within, that is when the real damage is done to the work of God and to the cause of Christ. I want very simply to draw your attention to Jude verse 4. And the subject that I want to deal with today is simply entitled False Teachers in the Church. What is Jude seeking to get across to God's people here in this text of Scripture? I'm sure it's the text of Scripture that, child of God, you have read many times before. But I pray as we meditate upon it now, just for a few moments, that the Lord will come and speak to our hearts afresh. As I have said and as I have emphasized already, this is a message for the Church of Jesus Christ today. And it's a message that we need to listen to. And it's a message that we need to heed. And I pray that in this day and age in which we live, that the Lord, through His Word, will speak to our hearts. I want you to notice three things here about these false teachers. First of all, I want you to notice the present position of these false teachers. Look what it says in verse 4. Underline the words in your Bible. Jude here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Underline it. "For there are certain men crept in unawares." These false teachers had crept into the Church of Christ. They had entered in among the people of God. They were in the church. And they had crept in unawares. That simply means without being noticed, without being detected. That means that they did not promote their false doctrines immediately when they entered into the church. They did not reveal their true intent straight away. In other words, as these men crept in unawares, they first won over the hearts and the factions of God's people until they got into a place of position in the church. And then when they got into a position in the church, it was then they began to spread their false doctrines and their false teaching. These false teachers had infiltrated the ranks of the redeemed. That's what we're learning here. They had, with deceit and dishonesty, entered in among the saints of God, just waiting their opportunity to attack God's work from within. My child of God, that's what we are learning here in this passage of Scripture. And it's so important that you and I see what is being taught here. Of course, the Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this scene of time, warned the disciples about such false teachers entering into the church. Take a look there with me. Keep your hand in the book of Jude and turn over to Matthew chapter 7. It's a familiar text of Scripture, but you need to underline it in your Bible. Here we have the Lord Jesus himself. And as he walked upon this earth in his public ministry, he had a message for the disciples. And this was the message that the Lord Jesus delivered unto them on this particular occasion. He said in verse 15 of Matthew 7, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves." And again in Matthew 24 verse 11, if you're taking notes, the Lord Jesus said this: "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." My, the sad reality here is this, that there are those who listen to false prophets. There are those who are taken in with false prophets and false teachers. And of course, this is the danger. They influence others. And even when Jude wrote this epistle, they were influencing those within the Church of Jesus Christ in Jude's day. Now, you've got to think about that for a moment. When the church began in the book of Acts, there was great revival. Hundreds, yeah, thousands of people were getting saved. The church was on the march. And yet the devil subtly was working within the body of Christ. And these creepers, as Jude calls them, they had crept in unawares. And they were in the church of Christ, just waiting their opportunity. In fact, when Jude wrote this epistle, obviously they had already begun to teach their false doctrine, and they were leading many astray. Turn over just for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 2 for a moment, because here Peter, again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes of these false prophets and these false teachers. Look with me there at verse 1 of 2 Peter 2 verse 1. It says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people." Now underline these words. "Even as there shall be." Now, Peter here doesn't say that there might be. He says, "Even as there shall be." It's a certainty that it's going to happen. "Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies." The word "privately" there means to bring in sideways. Mark it in your Bible. Underline it. Write that beside the word. It means to bring in sideways. These false teachers will not proclaim immediately what they believe. Indeed, they may at the beginning say they believe the Bible. But therein lies the problem. Many will say that they believe the Bible. But what is their interpretation of the Bible? The Pope says he believes the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses say they believe the Bible. The Mormons say they believe the Bible. The Seventh-day Adventists say they believe the Bible. But what is their interpretation of the Bible? Oh, my friend, you can see here that this is a message for this, our day and generation. Many false teachers have crept into the Church of Jesus Christ today. They're called ecumenists. They're called ecumenists. They're called liberals. There's many other things that we could call them, but we'll refrain. But they have crept into the church, and they're spreading their false doctrine. They're spreading their false teaching. My, you and I need to be aware of this in this 21st century. Oh, we have here in this portion of Scripture, we have here the present position of the false teachers. They're in the church. They're not outside the church. They're in the church. Now, take a look again at Jude verse 4. And notice something else about these false teachers. Notice their sinful character. Look what it says. "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men." Underline that phrase. These false teachers who had crept into the churches in the days of Jude, at heart were ungodly men. That's how the Lord here describes these false teachers. All their ungodly ways and their ungodly views did not come to the fore immediately. If they had, they would not have been accepted in the church. However, eventually, their true intent and their true character came to light. Eventually, their ungodliness came to the fore. But initially, and this is the point I want to emphasize, initially, these men, when they first entered into the body of Christ, would have been seen as good, gifted, and very helpful individuals. At the beginning, they would have been an encouragement, perhaps, to the work of God. But deep down, they had other motives. And in their heart, they were ungodly men. My friend, not everyone that wears a round collar is a godly man. Not everyone that's involved in Christian work are godly men. And you and I need to be aware of that today.
Because God's word is making us aware of that today. That's what Jude is teaching us here. These were teachers in the church. They were false teachers. And they were spreading their false doctrine. And there were those in the church who were listening to them. But they were ungodly men. They were ungodly men. And the sad reality in Ulster today is this, that there are ministers in pulpits and they're ungodly men. They're preaching a false gospel. And they're leading their congregations to hell. And that's the reality of it. And that's what Jude here is seeking to bring out in this epistle. My friend, it's a word for this 21st century. This is a part of God's word that we're reading. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. Don't say that the book of Jude is irrelevant for us today. I tell you, it's most irrelevant for you and I in this 21st century. Because prior to the second coming of Christ, things will wax worse and worse. Did you notice the little phrase, underline it, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Do you know what that means? Well, the word ordained there means forewritten or predicted. In other words, it was forewritten or predicted that such men would creep into the church and seek to weaken the body of Christ. Jude here is referring back to the Old Testament scriptures, which taught clearly that such ungodly men would rise up and seek to destroy the work of God. Jude here is teaching that such men have always been in this world and will continue to be until Jesus Christ comes again. However, not only are they ungodly men, but they are men who will receive the judgment of God. God's judgment will fall upon these false teachers. Because Jude here draws our attention to their condemnation, or their judgment, or their end. These men that Jude is speaking about are apostates. What is an apostate? An apostate is a person who hears the word of God, who is taught the word of God, who receives the word of God and believes it in his head for a time. Then he falls away. In other words, he turns away from the word of God. He stops believing the word of God. An apostate is a person who has never been saved. Underline that phrase. And although they have for a time given mental consent to the teaching of the Bible, they had never experienced the new birth or God's saving grace in their lives. These men that Jude refers to here, who had crept into the body of Christ unawares, were apostates. One commentator in his description of an apostate said this, and I think it's a very good description. And you should remember it. An apostate is one who has received light, but not life. He may have received in some degree the written word of God, but he has not received the living word, Jesus Christ, as his own and personal Redeemer. Oh, men and women, there are many such men in County Fermanagh. There are many such men in this province of Ulster. There are many such men in this United Kingdom. There are many such men in this island of Ireland. And the truth is that they're standing in pulpits every week, and they're deceiving many. And they're telling men that they don't need to be saved to get to heaven. They're telling men that their good works will get them into heaven. And these are the men that would seek to bring you and I back into the Church of Rome. And of course, you all know about the ecumenical movement. I'm not going to start preaching a sermon on the ecumenical movement or the World Council of Churches. You're quite aware of what the World Council of Churches are. And if you're not, then you need to read up on it. But the World Council of Churches is an organization that is seeking union with the Church of Rome. And the sad thing about these ecumenists is this, that they accept the Church of Rome as a Christian church. And the Church of Rome was not a Christian church. Because of its false doctrines, and we could go in and take the time now to study the false doctrines of Rome and compare them with the Word of God, we have done that before. But you and I can never accept that the Church of Rome is a Christian church. You know, I've heard it said by people who profess to be saved, you know, our wee man's a good wee man. And he looks after me well, and he visits me when I'm sick. And he encourages me when I'm in hospital. And you ask them, well, does your wee man tell you need to be saved? Does your wee man tell you that there's a hell and that you need to come to Christ in order to escape the flames of hell? Oh no, my wee man will not tell me that. But he's still a good wee man. There's nothing good about him. My friend, there's nothing good about him. Because if a minister does not declare the full counsel of God and exhort his congregation to turn and repent and believe Christ and flee from the wrath to come, and if he does not tell his congregation that redemption is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone, then he's a false teacher. He's a false teacher. He's one of the ones that Jude is referring to here in his epistle. Now, notice something else here. I'm sure you've noticed it. Go back to Jude, verse 4. And I want you to notice not only the present position of these false teachers, and not only the sinful character of these false teachers, but I want you to notice their ultimate aim. What was the ultimate aim of these men who had crept into the church in the days of Jude? Well, look at verse 4 and underline it in your Bible. My friend, all I'm seeking to do is to teach you what the Bible says. The problem today is that people don't want to hear what the Bible says. Even many Christians don't want to hear what the Bible says. You know what they'll say? Well, just preach the gospel and don't annoy anyone. Well, friend, how can you preach the gospel and not annoy anyone? If you're a sinner today, is the word of God not annoying you? Well, you should be annoyed. Because if you're not saved, you're going to be lost forever. Would that not annoy a sinner? Of course it would. When you preach the gospel, you're going to annoy people. And here's Jude, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let me emphasize that. Here is God's word. This is God's truth. And here's the ultimate aim of the false teacher, look at it, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word turning there, it means to change. Right beside the word turning, to change. That's what it means. Therefore, the aim of the false teacher, as he infiltrates the Church of Christ, is to change the truth. That's his aim, to change the truth. He wants to change the doctrines of the Bible. He wants to turn around what the Bible teaches. Turning the grace of God, listen to it, into lasciviousness. That literally means he wants to change the gospel to fulfill his own lusts. The word lasciviousness refers to sexual impurity. These men were vile. The only reason they wanted religion was to seek to cover up their sexual impurity. That's what the Bible is saying here. Their ultimate aim is changing the gospel to and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at what it says at the end of verse 4. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you two examples in the New Testament where this was happening. Keep your hand in the book of Jude and turn over to Galatians chapter 1 for a moment. Now, we have already made reference to Galatians chapter 1 in these studies, but let us look at it again. Paul here was writing to the churches at Galatia. We often speak about the church at Galatia, and when we do that, we're referring to all the churches of Galatia, the body of Christ throughout these churches. And although this church had begun in revival and many were saved, shortly after its inception, these false teachers had crept in. And they had led many of God's people astray. Look what it says in verse 6. Here's Paul now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says to these believers, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. There's the false teachers. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the aim. That's the purpose. That word pervert there means to turn around. It means to change. And that's their aim. Their aim is to get in among God's people, to be friendly, and then when they get the confidence of God's people, start rising up the ranks, and then they start teaching their false doctrine. They start questioning the word of God. Well, did God really mean this, or did God really say that, or are you sure God really means the other? Oh, they have perverted the gospel of Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4 of Galatians. "And that because of false brethren," underline it, "unawares brought in, who came in privily or privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage," that they might change the gospel, that they might change the truth, that they may overturn what we have been given. Turn to Titus, you'll see another example of this in the New Testament. Take a look at Titus chapter 1. Child of God, you read through the New Testament all the time. Do you ever see things? Do you ever pick these things out? Do you ever notice what exactly is being said in these epistles? Look what it says in Titus 1 and verse 10. "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers," false prophets, "especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who pervert whole houses," listen to it, underline it, "teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." Now there we have it again. The motive for their teaching. For filthy lucre's sake. Verse 12, "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables or commandments of men, that turn from the truth." There's it again. Turn from the truth. "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God." They profess that they know God. Listen, a religious man's going to profess that he knows God. Every minister in this land is going to profess that he knows God. And there were men in Paul's day, in Jude's day, when these epistles were written, and they professed that they knew God. But read on. "But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Oh, here we have their ultimate aim. To change the truth. To deny the Christ of God. To deny the doctrines that are clearly taught in this book that we have before us. Child of God, in light of what we have learned today from verse 4. What must we seek to do as God's people? What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to preach the whole truth continually.
to preach the whole truth continually. Never water down what the Bible says for anyone. Pray that God will keep us from apostasy. Because I'll tell you this, the Free Presbyterian Church is not immune from this apostasy. Don't believe that for one minute. Always be watching for false teachers within the church. And always want the Word of God to have the preeminent place in the church. The Word of God. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. What a treasure we have. And as I said the last time we studied this epistle, we are to earnestly contend for the faith. This was Jude's plea to the church in his day. And it's the same plea for us in this 21st century. How do we earnestly contend for the faith? Well, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you would know the answer to that. We're to believe the truth. Accept the truth. Know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are to love the truth. We are to live the truth out in our lives. Bear that good testimony that others might see that our lives are different from the world's. And we're to defend the truth. Now, ultimately, God will defend His truth. God will build His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But oh, He has given us a responsibility, has He not? To earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What a wonderful Bible we have. What a wonderful gospel we have. Let us not sell it. Let us not compromise it. But let us in these days in which we live seek to stand up for the faith. For the faith. I emphasized last time that phrase, the faith, is talking about the Bible. It's talking about the doctrines of the Bible, the faith. But let me ask you as we close this meeting, and time is gone, have you a personal faith today in Jesus Christ? A personal faith. You can claim to be a Protestant and uphold the faith, the Protestant faith. But have you a personal faith in Jesus Christ? My friend, it's only when you come as a sinner to Jesus and put your faith and trust in Him, casting your all upon Him, recognizing that you are the sinner on your way to a lost eternity and crying unto God for mercy, being saved. That's the only way that you can have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus. My prayer is this day that you will come and put your trust in Christ. He is alive. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. But He is alive. The tomb is empty. And that's why we can preach what's contained in this book with confidence. That's why we can go forward with the message of the gospel, with full assurance. Because the Lord Jesus has promised as His word goes forth that He will bring in His church and save a people for Himself. Oh, my friend, are you among the redeemed today? If you're not, come and trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Let us all pray.